the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hands up if you've had a really good week this week. Okay. Hands up if you've had a so-so week. Hands up if you've had a disastrous week. Anyone got the Samaritans on speed dial? Yeah? That's usually a sign of a bad week. I teach in a theological college, and we today, 1st of Feb, is the end of our first semester, which if you don't work in a college or university, it doesn't really mean much to you, but it so happens at this particular point, about 100 of our students go off on block placement for 5 weeks. And so they're always looking for things to be signed off and questions to ask you. And this week I felt as if my door has just never stopped with people want to ask me lots and lots of questions. But there's always somebody worse off than you. Have you noticed that in life? That if you think you're having a bad hair day, you chat to someone else and, oh boy, they really are having a bad hair day. And I read not long ago about a mum on the school run. Hands up if you do the school run. I used to do the school run in our house. Hands up if you can hear me and you know I'm not talking in Serbo-Croatian. Okay, good. So you know what the school run's like. This mum had 4 children. They were in 2 different schools. She had to collect them and they had to be dropped off, one for football practice, one for gym in another location, one for a piano lesson, and the 4th had to go to the dentist. Now, can you just imagine this? And there were roadworks, and it was raining. And so she managed to pick them up and did pretty well dropping them all off. And she was only 5 minutes late getting to the dentist. Fortunately, the dentist had overrun. So when she got there, able to sit and catch her breath for a moment or two, called into the surgery, puts the little child in the chair, and the dentist looks in the child's mouth and said, "This child doesn't need a filling." And the mum goes, "I've brought the wrong one." That is a bad hair day. Irrespective of what kind of day you've had today, I want to remind you, the reading that Prue brought to us just now mentions the word hope. Did you notice again and again the word hope crops up? At the end, there's a lovely prayer that she finished the reading with. May the God of hope, one of the great descriptions of our God and Father, is that he is a God of hope who gives hope. And I don't know how you came away this weekend, who invited you to come, what's going on in your life. But I had a strong sense that we needed to just start on that note of hope. That whatever else is happening in our world, in our global world, in our private, personal world, we come to a God of hope who wants to fill us with hope and with confidence. I know that you're doing a series at the moment on the front line. And at Belmont, you've been thinking on Sundays, you've been thinking in your home groups about what it means to be serving the Lord Jesus on the front line where you are. And many months ago, when Clive and Derek were in touch with me, they said, would it be possible for you to somehow dovetail the theme of the house party with what we're doing about the front line? So that set me thinking and praying and wondering exactly how this could work. Maybe look for a passage of scripture, ask God to unlock something for me that would be particularly relevant. But my inspiration came from something that's in my house. If you come and visit me, you'll see in our lounge a series of pictures on the wall, but there's one rather unusual frame. And it's a photograph and it's a postcard. The photograph is of a gravestone. And the postcard is the last postcard home sent by the person who's buried in that grave. The person buried in the grave is my late grandfather, Thomas Coffey. I never met him. In fact, my dad never met him because my dad was born while his father, was serving in the First World War. And in 1915, he was killed in a battle just outside Ypres in Belgium. And alongside thousands of young men of that generation, he never returned home. And the photograph is of his gravestone, and the postcard is the last card that he sent home. It's a poignant card to read. It's written in pencil. He obviously wasn't a very well-educated man, because it's very, very childlike writing and spelling. And he just says to his wife that it's not easy, particularly as the boots that they've given him are far too big. And that means that they're rubbing his feet, and they're also means he has to wear a couple of pairs of socks. And he says, if possible, please can you send me some more socks? And he sends his love, and he signs off. That was my granddad's dispatch from the front line. Not profound enough to reach the history books, but for me, as a grandson, it's the only thing I have of him. And that got me thinking about dispatches. Dispatches from the front line. I don't know whether you noticed the verse that Ruth Prue read in verse 4 of that chapter, 15 of Romans. This verse came alive for me some years ago. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Hope ultimately comes from our God. We find hope through encouraging each other a weekend away like this, through the prayers of friends, the prayer team who are going to be working this weekend. They're sources of hope that God brings to us. But do you see what this verse says? The encouragement of the scriptures. By listening to God's word and hearing what's happened to men and women in different generations, in circumstances that in some ways are very unlike ours, but in others are quite similar, we might find encouragement and endurance. And that's why I decided to choose three dispatches from the front line. Two men and one woman. Two from the Old Testament, one from the New. And in the three teaching sessions that we have over the weekend, I want to begin by looking at the life of Joseph, a man who rose to be Prime Minister of Egypt, a nation that's in the news today. And then I want to think about Queen Esther, who served in the court of a foreign king. The most unusual book, I think, that we've got in the Bible, because it doesn't even mention God. But his fingerprints are all over the story. And then I want to think about Barnabas, a man who in the New Testament doesn't have a front row starring role, but is a significant influencer, and a man whose life had a lasting impact, like the pebble dropped in the pond, the ripples, the effect of his life spread outwards. Now, inevitably, I could take Joseph, Esther, Barnabas, and we could do more than three sessions on each of those lives. But I just felt that each of them has something to say to us about our front line. Now, if you're really good and want to read ahead, you might want to try and read through. You won't get through it all, but parts of those lives, because we're going to try and focus on some of the characteristics that stand out in their dispatch from the front line, and work out how that earths in our lives where we are in our front line. Early this morning, I was reading the story of the parable of the sower. Remember the story that Jesus told? And in the Gospels, it's one of those funny things where Jesus tells a story and everyone sort of nods and looks very sort of, yes, yes. And then afterwards, the disciples say to Jesus privately, what on earth was that about? Do you feel that sometimes about sermons? What on earth was that about? And Jesus explains the story. You remember the story, don't you? The sower goes out to sow, and he's throwing the seed along the field that's been ploughed. Some of the seed is snatched by the birds who are hungrily following this sower, knowing that they can get a free lunch. Some of it falls into the side where the soil is very, very shallow. And the result is it can't go down deep. The roots of that plant can't go down deep. And when the Middle Eastern sun begins to burn, it just shrivels up. Some of it falls amongst the weeds, the thorns at the side of the field, and the little plant starts to grow up, but the weeds grow up with it, and the life is strangled away. But some, said Jesus, some of the seed falls into good soil. And there it lies, it germinates, and eventually it bears fruit. 30, 40, 60, 100 times what was sown. The disciples say, Lord, what was that about? Explain it. And Jesus said, well, it's the seed is the word of God, and the sower is anybody who goes out with God's word. And the different reaction is the kind of response that happens to God's word. For some people, it's stolen out of their hearts, just like the birds swoop down. Satan snatches it away. Their mind's all over the place. They're thinking about other stuff, the conversation that's going to happen as soon as church is over, where they've been, what they've done, what they're going to spend their money on. And he says, it goes, it's stolen. The seed that falls in the shallow soil, well, it hasn't got a lot of root, it hasn't got a lot of depth. And eventually it just gets scorched up. No nourishment, no power to draw from the soil. And that's people who hear the word, but it doesn't go very deep. It's a kind of superficial nodding acquaintance with God and no more. And then he said, the seed that falls amongst the thorns and the briars and has its life strangled from it are those who receive the word with joy, but well, soon cares, worries about riches, ambitions, stuff like that, it just comes and chokes the life. But, said Jesus, the seed that falls into the good soil are those who hear God's word and take it in and respond, and it brings fruit in their lives. As I sat and read that this morning, I thought, I'm going to pray that for all of us here at the house party. I'm going to pray that our hearts would be like good soil, that nothing would snatch away God's word. And if there is some weeding that needs to be done, that God by his Spirit will do that in our hearts. If there's a danger of us being a little bit superficial, we'll allow the Lord Jesus, through the power of his Spirit, through his word, to plow up our hearts. But that every one of us here, whether we've been a Christian for 60 years or for 6 weeks, we might truly find in these hours that we spend together a closer relationship with God. It's all about hope. Where do we find that hope? As we listen and learn from God's word. And that's why in a moment I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and I'm going to invite you to pray. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to invite you to pray quietly in your heart, not out loud. It's a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, please speak to me. I'm going to pray that for myself, and I want to pray it for you as you make that your prayer in your hearts. Now, how does God speak to us? In lots of ways. I don't think that God's confined to when we're sitting down in church or at a time like this with our Bibles open. I think God can speak to us at lots of opportunities. I often hear God speaking to me through a friend with a wise word, what the Bible calls a word in season. Sometimes I hear God speaking to me when I'm just quietly walking and enjoying some of the beautiful scenery that we've got around us here on the coast. We're not limiting how the Lord Jesus is going to speak, but we are inviting him to speak. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So will you join me as we just close our eyes and bow our heads, and I lead us in a prayer over the next couple of days. We're going to be singing and sharing some good times and laughter and friendship together. All of these things are important, but in it all, we want God to speak, and we want our hearts to be receptive soil. So quietly in your heart, join me in praying very simply, Lord Jesus, please speak to me. And Lord, I want to echo that prayer as all around the room we've been praying it. And pray that as your word comes to us in different ways, we might find hope. As we listen to these frontline dispatches, we would be strengthened and able to work and serve on our front line, knowing your encouragement, your strength, and your gift of hope. And we offer this prayer, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.